chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. This is a world that needs hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you one more time. Lord, I pray for utterance that this word will be a blessing and an encouragement and an uplift, and that your word will be effective in the hearts of the listeners. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a praise offering. Turn to someone and tell them you need hope. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I got that gravelly preacher's voice today. Amen. Got that gravelly preacher's voice today. Amen. So the cold has some blessing. Amen. This is a depressing world that we are in. It's a very depressing world. I just want to read you some statistics. I went to a website last night, and you can get all these statistics. They said right now, and these are worldwide statistics, there are 12,020,404 people that have died this year through a communicable disease. 12,020,004 people have died through communicable diseases. 7 million children died under the age of 5. This year so far. There have been 38,899 abortions. 38 million abortions this year. There have been 286,200 mothers who have died in childbirth this year. There have been 1,500,000 roughly deaths of people with HIV and AIDS this year. There have been 7,600,000 deaths this year through cancer. 900,000 people have died of malaria. There are over 755 million people who are starving right now. This is a world that is starved of hope. And if you were to look at all the statistics, it'd be very depressing. We are so blessed that we live in the United States of America, with all of its troubles, with all of its faults, we are still blessed. I remember telling you I traveled to Mexico one time doing a job, and as the vehicle pulled in and the train pulled in with all the stuff, I saw this big crowd gathered around, and I wondered, what are they gathered around for? And come to find out that they were all wanting to fight over the packing cases, the wooden pallets, because they wanted that to make their houses. We are blessed. But we live in a world that is full of hopelessness. Even around you, there are people right now going through some crisis and they feel hopeless. 755 million people are undernourished. There was 404 people who died last night of hunger. There were 992,000 suicides last year. You know what? That tells me those people felt hopeless. They had come to the end of their rope. I'm sure most of us at times have come to places in our lives, dark places where we felt hopeless, where we felt, you know what? We thought about it. We thought about it. Something, God's mercy, God's grace, prevented you from taking the next step. Because I want to tell you today that we have hope. And the title of my message is Accessing Hope. There is a way that you don't have to be discouraged, that you don't have to be down, that you don't have to feel that things are hopeless. Because if you look at the world as it is, you have every right to think so. You have every right to be discouraged. But I tell you, if you believe in Jesus, if you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, if you're listening to my voice right now, I want to declare to you, it's not hopeless. But you can access some hope today. You can access some hope today. There was $370 billion worldwide spent last year on illegal drugs. $370 billion. There were 1,200,000 people killed in road accidents. Sister Audrey was just telling me about a close friend of hers who was just killed, I think, hit by a car. Is it today or yesterday? This morning. Died, went out into eternity. And when you look at all the things that are going around in this world, we understand that's why the election went the way it is, because people felt they wanted a change. They felt that there needed to be some dramatic change because things look pretty dire. Things look hopeless. This world is suffering from a lack of hope. And it can't get better by itself. 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us that, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You can't look in the world for hope, because all you'll get is some negative statistics. All you'll get is all the bad things that have happened. You know, when you turn into Fox 6 News at 9 o'clock, you know what's going to happen. You know what you're going to hear. On the north side, there was a shooting. This young man crashed a car. This girl was raped. This little baby was shot accidentally. That is such terrible news. There is nothing in that news that is good news. But I want to tell you today, there is some good news. It's called the gospel. It's called that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you don't have to be lost. The Bible says, if in this life alone we had hope, we would have been of men most miserable. If all I had to depend on was my job or my intellect or my education, you know what? I would still feel pretty hopeless. I would still feel pretty bad. I'd wonder, I'd be scared. I'd be wondering, how long am I going to hold on to my job? How long is Social Security going to last? How long is Medicaid going to last? You see, this world has nothing but doom and gloom. But I'm telling you some good news today. We don't have to depend upon this world for our hope, because there is hope. You can access this hope. There is a reality that there can be a joy. There can be a hope that is in Christ Jesus. There is some good news for you today. You ever had some good news where you couldn't stop smiling? I'm telling you, there is some good news in Jesus. You see, this world is suffering from a lack of hope. This world is dying and is destitute. The Bible says that men's hearts would be failing them for fear of the things that are going to come upon them. Last night, they think 40 people died in a fire out in California. They got up that day thinking they were going to still have time to get things right, to do things. They had plans just like me or you. But I'm telling you this, even if I were to die, I still have hope. Amen. Death cannot take away my hope. Amen. Because my hope isn't built in my flesh. It's not built in my wealth. It's built and stands upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. I'm telling you today, we can have hope. We can have hope. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be down. I'm telling you, if you are a true Christian, you just cannot be sad. Not for long, because you always have hope. No matter how bad the situation is, no matter how you're down to your last cruse of oil, there is hope. Because I have something that the devil can't take away from me. It's not something that they gave to me. It's not something that the government gave to me. It's something that was the gift from God, His grace and His love and His blessing. It gives me hope that I can come in here even when I have bad news, even when things look dire, even if tomorrow is to go in and they give me the pink slip, I will say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, I'm going to have hope no matter what. I have hope no matter what. I'm never going to get so that I do not have hope. If for some reason the doctor tells me, well, you're going to die, I'm going to say, well, I'm coming to you, Jesus. I am still going to have hope. I don't want to go right now because I think there's a work for me to do. I know you don't want to go now because there's a work for you to do. But in this life, if you were just to look at statistics, you would have no hope. I'm trying to tell someone out there, there is hope for you, but you need to look unto the author and the finisher of our faith today. Your job is not secure. You can't, you know, years ago, you could start at a company and expect to work there 35, 40 years and retire. But nowadays, that's not true. Their hope is not in your job. Your hope is not in the company. Your hope is not in Social Security. They could come and change at any time. But my hope and your hope needs to be built on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 18, 12, chapter 18, verse 12 says, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices." That's why people are so selfish, because they think, nobody's going to look after me. I gotta do it for myself. In Jeremiah, the Bible says, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. And we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. The world thinks that the hope is in what they can do for themselves, how they can work it out. The Bible says that that's not going to work. See, the trouble is, most of us were like that. Even now, sometimes we try and work it out for ourselves. We do not put our trust in him. We try and work it out, and we make the situation worse. We make the situation worse. Sometimes God has to bring us all the way down to the pig pen, where we're eating with the pigs, before we come to the realization that the hope is back at Father's house. That's where my hope is. Not in what I can do for myself, but what he has already done for me. See, many of us were like that. Some of us are still like that. We're hoping in getting this job or that job. But that's not where it's at. I'm telling you, this world is going to get worse and worse. The Bible says that men's hearts will be failing them for fear. If you're depending upon a career, if you're depending on whatever's out there, you're going to be disappointed. Your hope needs to be up, not down. Your hope needs to be in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us this, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. There was a time when we didn't know about Christ, when we had no hope, when we weren't following his precepts. But what I'm trying to tell you, that no matter how dark things may look for you right now, there is hope. There is hope. And I'm saying that with a smile. Now, you all looking at me like you don't know what I'm telling you. But if you are a true child of God, there is hope. If you cannot have joy, it's because you have no hope. A person has hope and believes something is coming can still smile. It's the people who have no hope commit suicide. It's the people who have no hope give up. It's the people who have no hope become bitter. It says that before, in Ephesians, it says we were like that without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. I tell you what, I have got a covenant of promise. That's what gives me hope. I can stand upon that promise that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Sometimes it does take the rod. Sometimes it takes the rod to keep us on that path. But even that gives me hope. If the Lord is punishing me, it's because he loves me. Amen. He loves those that he chastises. Lord, ow. Ooh, that hurts. Lord, but I know you love me. You're putting me on a straight path. You're putting me on a straight path. I'm trying to tell you today, there is hope. Not in this world. But you need to fix your eyes firmly on Jesus. The song says, and look full in his beautiful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's where we ought to be looking. My hope needs to be in Jesus and him alone. If your hope is in a husband or in a wife, you may still be disappointed. It used to shock me when I used to read people having been married 35 years and getting divorced. I'm going like, what's the matter with that? It scared me when I was getting married. I asked my wife some silly questions. I said, are you going to change? That's a silly question. Of course she's going to change. Of course I'm going to change. My hope is that she loves God more than she loves me. And that's the truth. She loves God more than she loves me. Anyone you marry needs to love God more than they love you. because their hope is in him and him alone. See, we need to understand that true happiness cannot come from this world. Psalms 148 verse 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Where is your hope today? What are you hoping for this year coming up in 2017? You're hoping for some riches? You're hoping for some marriage? You're hoping for... it's fine to hope for those things, but they need to be number two. Number one should be, "Lord, I want to draw closer to you. My hope is in you, Lord. I want your anointing. I want your fulfillment in my life. I want the gifts you have promised me manifested. I want to be a true servant. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a sheep. I want to be used." Is that under your Christmas tree? Is that your hope? Are you hoping for a Fitbit? Are you hoping for a new Apple Watch? Are you hoping for something else? Hoping for a Lexus? See, those things will fade and decay. You know the song they sing at funerals? "But thou who changest not, abide with me." All those other things change and decay in all around I see. But the one person who will not change, that's who you need under your Christmas tree. Psalms 146 verse 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord." I tell you the truth, God is my only hope. The Bible says he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. I don't deserve my job. I'm surviving by his blessing and his favor and his grace. God astounds me every day I walk in and I'm able to do my job. Because he's my hope. He astounds me how he's been able to bless this church, enable us to have heat. He astounds because he is where I put my hope. My hope is not in any skill or strength I have. My hope is in Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, you can access this hope. How do you get some hope today? That's what I want to finish with. How do you get hope? You may be very discouraged at this point. You may be down and you may say, "I've heard all of this before. I've heard all this preaching before." How do you get hope? How do you get some hope? Let me tell you this. Psalms 147:11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him." Develop a reverence for the house of the Lord. Seek to be in his presence. It says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." You know, that's all I can hope in his mercy. I have no goodness. I have no anything to bring to him except my thanks and my love. Because I'm hoping in his mercy. And I tell you what, God has never, ever failed me yet. I'm telling you, you can access this hope. You don't have to be hopeless in a hopeless world. But you can be a beacon, a light to others. People can say, "What's the matter with you? Why are you singing? Why you got a song this morning when you go into work? Why do you have a smile on your face?" Do you? All right now. We should be the hope. We should be the beacon. We should be the light. Of all the people in this world, we should have hope. Not only in what's to come, but not in this life alone. Amen. You see, when you have no hope, let me tell you something. What you need for living. They say you can't live more than maybe 40 days without food. You can't live maybe 3 or 4 days without water. And you can't live more than a few minutes without breath. But you also can't live without hope. If you have lost your hope, you're walking dead. That's what you are. And you need to get your faith back together and put your faith into Jesus because he will give you hope. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:19, this is what I've been quoting. "If in this life alone we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." That means if you're only hoping for God to bless you financially, that's not good enough. Because this life is going to end at some point. This life will disappoint you. If that's where your hope is, Paul says you're above all men most miserable. But my hope is not on this. I've said so many times, I'm not planning to pay off my 30-year mortgage. I'd be 90 years old and I'm not working till then. Amen. I'm not working till then. Except for the kingdom of God. If he allows me to live that long, if the Lord tarry... My house is not down here. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, See, I have a hope of a house that's so splendid, that's so marvelous, that has a city that whose maker has no hands. That's what the hope is. My hope is not in a beautiful mansion. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret, but not a secret. I want to tell you how you access this hope. How do you get hope when you've been hopeless, when you're down, when you don't feel like anything can take you through? Well, here it is, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. It says, by whom also we have access. I'm going to tell you how you have access. By faith. Start believing the words that I'm speaking to you, that God has called you, God loves you, God wants you to prosper, God got a blessing for you. You start believing. That's how you get into hope. You access it through faith. Into this grace. That means it's not because you deserve it. It's not because you worked for it, but because you have faith alone in Christ Jesus, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. I can't do it. Anytime I start looking at me, I start to feel incompetent, incomplete. I have to force myself to think, Lord, you're covering me. Every day there's a special prayer my wife and I pray, and we always ask for God's covering. You see, I'm dressed when I got God's covering. I can go out and look confident even if inside I'm not confident, because I'm covered by His Spirit. I can have hope because He is my deliverer. He is my holder up of my foot. The Psalms 48 says He's the lifter up of my head. He can put you on a rock where everybody else is sinking. You need to gird up your loins and get some hope. And the way you do it is by believing the promises of God. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of us, we need to hear a voice. We're going to be like Thomas. Well, I'll believe when I see him, when Jesus appears in front of me and lays his hand upon me. Well, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Because believe it or not, he's speaking to you right now. And so I'll tell you how he's speaking through me. He says, I give you pastors and shepherds. That's what I'm doing. I'm speaking in his stead to you directly right now. Now, it's up to you whether you receive it. It says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. Can you start rejoicing? See, if you have hope, you have a smile because you are rejoicing. It says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, now here comes the part we don't like, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Not because of the tribulations, but we have a hope where I'm going to get through this. I don't know how, I don't know where, but I'm going to get through this. I have a hope that God loves me. He's going to take me through this situation. Now, there's a sequence to getting hope. It says this, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I've been down this road before. I've been where I had need. Didn't know where the money was coming from. So I'm going to be patient because I trust God. I hope in him. So I learned patience. And then patience teaches us experience. See, I've seen what God can do before. He's delivered me from $500,000 of IRS. So 20,000 is a big number, but he can deliver me. That's nothing, right? That's nothing. IRS sent me a bill yesterday. I won't even tell you. But it's nothing compared to what God has already delivered me from. I'm not even the least bit. I looked at, okay, fine. Because patience teaches you experience, and experience ends up doing what? Giving you hope. Title of my message is How You Access Hope. We need hope. This is a hopeless, sinful world. We, of all people, should be full of hope because we have something that wasn't given to us by the government, by your job, but by the Holy Spirit. The promise, he says, a covenant of promises. We have some exceedingly great and precious promises. We need to have hope, and then we should rejoice. Not because our circumstance yet has changed, but I'm waiting patiently. He's going to take me through this just as he has always done. Always done. It says, and patience gives experience, and experience, because I've been through this and I've been delivered, it gives me hope. God's going to take me through again. I don't know how. I don't know what day it's going to happen. But he always does it. He miraculously comes through. He provides a blessing. As long as I'm looking to him, if I start looking to me and thinking, okay, how am I going to work this out now? If I do this, if I juggle this, if I don't pay Bill and I pay Sarah, no. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, Lord, this is your problem. I'm your child. I'm going to hope in you and your blessing and your deliverance and your love and your grace and your unmerited favor. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to get like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I serve. I'm telling you, even if I die, I'm still going to have hope. I live in the hope of a resurrection. Amen. That I'm going to be changed. That this body is going to be resurrected into a glorious. I have hope no matter what happens. You can't put me down. I'm like a balloon with air. I'm going to have hope. I'm going to float back to the top. You see, there's a way you can see hope. Romans 8:24, and I'll soon be finished. And I tell you what, if you don't have hope, you're dead. Because it says we are saved by hope. Think about that. Salvation comes by hope. You have to first believe. And then once you believe, you have hope. And hope will save you. It's when people have no hope that they die. That's when they give up. That's when they jump off bridges. That's when they take pills. Because they have no hope. Bible says we should not be like that. We are not like men most miserable who have no hope. Every one of you that are hearing this message today, you're hearing it because you have hope. You are here not because you came here of your own, but God somehow attracted you here today to hear a message of hope, that you are blessed, that you're his child, that he loves you, and that you're going to get through this if you will look unto him who is the author, who wants to write a good ending to your story. Don't grab the pen and try and write it yourself. Let the author, who's the author and finisher of your faith. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Same as faith. It's not something you have presently that you can see. The Bible says, and this is profound. This is so deep. The Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. That means hope is eternal. That's what they say. Hope springs eternal. It's the invisible things that are eternal. You can't see hope, just as how you can't see the Holy Spirit. You can see the manifestation of it. And God can manifest his love and give you hope today. You see, why doth he yet hope for, but we hope for that we see not, then we with patience. Let's say that together, patience. You all know when you go to the doctor, you're going to wait. So when you go to the doctor and they say, okay, fill in this form and sit there, you all stomp out and say, I'm not waiting. I'm not going to wait. I came here to see the doctor. He told me 4 o'clock, I'm here at 4. I'm going because he didn't see me. No, you go sit down and you wait. But we don't want to wait for Dr. Jesus, do we? If you don't do it right now, give me patience and give it to me now. That's a joke, but if you don't get that. See, the Bible says here that we with patience wait for it because we have hope. I'm waiting for my change to come. I'm waiting for deliverance. I had no idea where I'm going to end up living when I first moved here. I thought that was where it's going to be. But we waited. We had no kitchen. We had no bathroom. We had no all kinds of stuff. But I didn't care about that truly. I know my wife cared a little bit. But I didn't care about that. I waited. We waited and God has delivered us. Nothing you do for God is lost. You can't outdo God. He will repay everything you do for him multiplied. All you have to do is wait patiently in hope. I'm almost finished here. Let's stand. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Man, if we could just put those three things together. If we could put those things together, rejoicing in hope. That means you don't see it yet. It's a hope. Remember, it said you can't see it. If you see it, it's not hope. You're not hoping for it if you already have it. Are there some things today you want God to do for you in 2017? Do you have some hopes today? All right, then when we need to be patient, it says rejoicing in hope. So now what I want you to do is to close your eyes. Let's use our faith organ. We're going to access that hope by faith. And I want you to see what it is you're asking God to do for. And if you don't smile when you're doing that, if you do that honestly, you're going to smile. Because God is going to give you the desires of your heart if you walk according to his promise. We can see by our faith organ what, if you want some healing for your family, if there's a job, if there's a home situation, I'm telling you, there is hope today. We live in a hopeless world, but we serve a God that is nothing but hope. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's what God has called us to today. Don't be hopeless. The Bible says that we are going to be in this world, but not of this world. So where there's hopelessness, you be a beacon of hope. I'm not discouraged. I don't have a job. I've got the electric bill disconnect notice. I've had those. I've had the phone bill disconnect. I've had those. But we serve a God, and there's so many scriptures I could have quoted, but he is the God of hope. He is the help for the hopeless. He is the good news to this world's sad statistics. That we don't have to dwell on all the negatives, all the things that say doom and gloom. You don't have to wait for the famine in the world to break. You understand that Isaac was sent to a place where there was a famine. Now, he could have said, Lord, now of all the places you're sending me, don't send me to Gerar because there's a famine. Why are you sending me to a place where there's a famine, where there's no food? But Isaac understood it didn't matter where he was. As long as God was with him, he had hope. And I almost titled this message, Not Ashamed, because it says, hope maketh not ashamed. Now think about that. Hope maketh not the same. Some of you here have already that testimony that it took many years, but your hope proved out. God will not end you up ashamed. You will not be ashamed. God will not shame you for hoping in him. You held on. You held on. Hope will never make you ashamed. If you hope in God, God will never leave you alone and let you be ashamed, because you are putting faith in him. And that can't fail. That can't fail. I open these altars right now. And I want you to leave here today. And I want you to speak to yourself and say, you know what? Self, I'm going to have hope. I am going to have hope. I don't know how my situation is going to work out, but you talk to yourself. The Bible says that David encouraged himself. David had a little talk with himself. Well, the men want to kill me. My women and all my money has been stolen. But there's one thing they can't steal from me. That was the anointing. Many years ago when I was 17, that prophet came and he laid hands on me. And he poured out an anointing oil. And he said, you are chosen. You are special. You belong to God. And although they took my money, although they took my women and the men now want to stone me, I'm not going to be discouraged. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to strap on my sword. I'm going to grab my shield of faith. I'm going to put on my shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to put on my helmet of salvation. I'm going to go after them people. Because I have hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. And if you have hope in Christ, you will never be ashamed. Never. Never. Don't anyone leave here today having no hope. If you have to do like David and speak to yourself and tell yourself, I may not have anything else, but Lord, one day you filled me with your Holy Spirit. One day I went down in that water. One day my sins were washed away. I may have failed you multiple times, but I know you have promised, like the father in the prodigal son, that you'll be out there watching for me. So I still have hope. That prodigal son would never have come back home if he didn't think there was a hope. That is so important, to never give up on hope. And the hope that you can never be ashamed of is hope in Christ. I'm closing this service and we're going to pray. I don't want no one to leave here today discouraged. Be patient in tribulation, because that works experience. And experience brings hope, because you've been through some things. David faced Goliath because he had hope. He had faith and he had hope, because he knew he had been chosen, because God had delivered him before. And I know we've said that one so many times, but it's true. It's true. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, as I pray, if you could lift up your voice, you could speak to yourself, declare some truths to yourself. Hallelujah. Father, we are going to trust you today. We're going to access this hope through faith. Lord, that we're going to lean on the covenant of your promises, that everything that you have promised us is going to come to pass. Lord, we're not going to lean on our own understanding, our own beliefs, but Lord, we're going to lean upon your belief, your love, that we are accepted into the beloved. Father, we thank you right now for your declaration of blessing, of love, of caring, of deliverance upon our lives. Lord, let no one leave here today hopeless, but we lift up your name and we give you all the praise and the glory right now, Jesus, for delivering us. We're going to rejoice in your hope. We're going to lift up your name because you loved us. We thank you right now for the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of your name, the blessing of salvation, the good news that trumps every other name.